Good morning, everyone. The Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If you'd please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Alrighty, everyone. We're going to move along now to item number 3. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the agenda for this date, November the 17th of 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes or corrections to make to today's agenda?
To my understanding, Mr. Chairman, no. And I'm going to ask Keith Lumis if he had a change he wanted to make.
I was a little unclear as to Sherry Whalen and whether she needed to have item 13 moved up in front of the staff reports or not. And I'm making that inquiry now if you're on the meeting, Sherry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, Sherry.
I'm flexible. Whatever works out for your schedule, just fine.
Okay. I don't think it'll be that long before we get to you, but if you need to leave early, we can move you up if you find that necessary.
I think I'll be okay to just stay where I'm at. Thank you very much.
Okay. And if you find later in the meeting that time is becoming a constraint for you, let us know and we'll go ahead and move you up at that point. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, would you go ahead and entertain a motion to approve today's agenda?
Yes, Chairman. I move to approve today's agenda, no modifications.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yes, sir. Thank you, motion.
Very good. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the minutes for October the 6th of 2020. Are there any public comments regarding those minutes? Hearing no comments, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion, please?
Yes. I move to approve the minutes for the October 6th, 2020 meeting.
Second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. Item 5 is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve, please?
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now is to item 6. This is our public comment portion. Any persons wishing to make public comment, go ahead and go forward. And please limit your comments to 3 minutes. And please limit your comments to anything that's not already on today's agenda. Okay? Public comment is now open. If your microphone is muted, you can unmute it by hitting *6. If you'd like to use the other feature, you can do *9, which would raise your hand. Okay, hearing no public comment, we'll move on to item number 7. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. Public comments, committee staff reports. We'll start with the Sheriff's Office, with Sheriff Antonoro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. Only thing I have to welcome and congratulate our 3 newest deputies that just graduated the Police Academy last Thursday. Since we're still in lockdown mode for the apocalypse, can't breathe in front of you, but if you go to the Sheriff's Office Facebook page, it's got a picture of all 3 of them there. Deputy Dawson, Deputy Hefner, and Deputy Smiley. Deputy Smiley has been working for me for a few years in jail. Deputy Dodson has spent lots of time out on the road. She completed her field training prior to attending the academy, and Deputy Hefner being the newest, I'm sure that folks would get a chance to know all three of these fine young deputies as they're out there working amongst all our citizenry. That's all I have.
Very good. Thanks, Sheriff. Yeah, I did see your Facebook page with the three deputies on there, and so congratulations to those deputies completing the post. All right. Let's see here. There's a lot of names on the board today, so they get a little bit small. So I'll go down my list and see if everybody's here. Down at the community chest in the library, Eric Schoen, are you on today? All righty, over at the recorder's office, Marnie Hanson-Martinez.
Nothing to report today, thank you.
All righty, thank you, Marnie. Our Story County Senior Services, Stacy York.
Nothing new to report today, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Stacy. Director of IT, James Dean.
Good morning, Commissioner, Mr. Chairman. James Dean, Perry County IT Director. Just a couple of items. The new fiber pole for the dispatch center has been completed by AT&T. That's the physical pulling of the cable into the building. And then we should be lighting up the internet circuit within the next week or two. And also, both radio connections for the dispatch center, microwave radio connections to the county backbone, as well as the microwave connection to the jail tower have also been completed. And that's all I have today.
Very good. Commissioners, Gilman, do you have any questions for James?
No questions, thank you.
Commissioner Carmona?
No questions, sir.
All right, very good. Thank you, James. Our Public Works Director, Jason Wiersbecki.
Good morning, Chairman. Commissioners, how are you guys today?
Hi. Doing well.
I just have a few quick things. One of them is an item coming up later, and that is requesting to resume normal water service to go back in and eliminate disconnects, or to resume normal service. Okay, I'm sorry. Because several other agencies have already resumed service throughout the rest of the state. Like I said, that will be coming up on the next agenda item towards the end of the meeting. But we are also working on the half blocks for the retaining wall and the parking lot at this time. And we have a few water connections going around town and getting ready for some more weather coming in from the blocks. That's all I have.
Okay. Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No questions, Marshall.
All righty. Commissioner Carmona?
No questions, thank you.
Very good. Great. Thanks, Jason. Our Labor Relations, Jeannie Green.
I'm nothing new to report, thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Our Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you. Joe Curtis for the record. I have a number of things that I want to advise you of and so forth regarding primarily to the COVID status related to the county. We have now acquired a total of 28 total cases as of last evening for Story County. And of those 28, 24 of them have already recovered. There's only 4 active outstanding cases at this moment. The total number of cases for the Quad County, however, is 2,693. That seems a little outrageous, I suppose, and it is, because Carson City is listed as having 1,443 cases. But most of those will be even if they're transferred down to Southern Nevada, are listed as partial city residents. So those illnesses that are in the prison system get tagged to Carson City. So the quad county number will come down probably by 1,000 here before too long. They're working on accomplishing that at the speed. So there, you know, there's basically two types of testing that occurs when we do these test sites or when people go and get tested and so forth. There's one that we generally think of as the quickie test, which gives you what's called a presumptive positive or a negative, which means that we think that it is and we're getting accepted here, but you have to back it up. You're going to have to get the swab test to be certain that it is. So they don't test these, or they don't follow these quickie tests unless they've been followed up through the lab system. Then it gets into the state health department and flows down to Clutch County, and then we would get a formal notification of that. When we learned, unfortunately, we learned through any number of sources of other cases and incidents of individuals who tested positive through one of the tests or another. And we find out about those either through resources that come to us or through the fire department EMS staff responding to a call that we did not have information about earlier that related to that particular residence having a COVID patient within it. So our statistics may be a little bit higher than what we initially know of as 28. In reality, it may well be some significant number over 30. The other problem that we run into statistic-wise, and this tells you, you know, when you look at the statistics, whether it be Story County or any other county, you want to keep in mind that those statistics are significantly flawed for the most part and give us kind of a false look at how many are in our situation. So I say that to for example, the Highlands has a zip code of the south end of Reno. Lockwood has a zip code that relates to Sparks in Washoe County. And Mark Twain has a zip code, of course, that relates to the Dayton Lyon County area. So we have no way of knowing if there are other cases in the system that were attached to those other counties simply because of the zip code connection. So that's not, you know, we know that that's out there. But when we find them, and we found three positive cases in the county yesterday that we did not know about simply because the EMS responded to those residents. So we flag them as all of them so that our first response personnel are protected to respond to any of these addresses until we find out that they've been covered. So these statistics provide some information to us, but one of the other problems that we have is that the statewide statistics are showing the state, showing the everybody that looks at state statistics, that Story County has only conducted 46 tests on residents. Now, we know that's false because we did over 186 on the 5th of November, and Mark Twain did 186 tests. So we've actually tested well over 500 people since the testing all started. The percentage factor, we don't really know. We do get people from Washington County, but that's no longer be the case. We'll no longer test anybody from outside any of the four counties. We have no further information on vaccinations as to when that might be at all, other than the first part of the new year. So we're still looking at that. Our next community COVID testing site will be tomorrow, Wednesday, November 18th at the Virginia City Senior Center from 2 to 4 p.m. 2 to 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. So you know, anybody that might be interested in getting tested, asymptomatic means if you have no symptoms, you certainly want them to come by and get tested. The next tests will be in December. There'll be one on December 2nd in Lockwood, December 16th in the Highlands, and December 30th in the BC Senior Center. That's, of course, all depending upon what's happening with the weather. And we may have to make last-minute changes or cancellations depending upon what we get in relationship to the weather. You'll also get a flu shot if you want one when you come to the test site. So keep that in mind. You get a COVID test and a flu shot. The governor's directives that he's put out in the last week about staying home order and working in minimal work staffing in workplaces. County Manager Austin Osborne has put in place those minimal workplace requirements and indications for the kind of cleanliness that we want to see in the county offices. So everybody's working diligently on that, we're hoping. And we encourage everyone to think masks, think social distancing and sanitation in and around your areas, desks, county situations, and everybody on the outside of the county employees to please in your businesses, in your home and everything, think sanitation, cleanliness, and washing hands, and that sort of thing. And hopefully we can get through with this because the governor, in another week and a half or so, will come back with some new decisions as to what he's going to do, depending upon what the state has accomplished. Story County is an absolute island in the state of Nevada, for sure. If you look at any of the testing maps, now how we, you know, we're way below everybody else, and fortunately we're able to keep that going. So with that, that would be, unless there's any questions, be into my report for November 17th.
Okay, Joe, thank you for your report. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
I don't, thank you, Marty.
There you go. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Joe?
No questions, thank you.
All right, very good. Over at Community Relations, I don't see Laura on the board. Honey Tapley, are you taking this spot today?
Hi, good morning, Commissioners. I am Honey Tapley, for the record. We wanted to let you know that the Small Business Grant Program closed on this past Friday, the 13th. In total, we have 22 of our businesses applied, and all 22 were approved, and as of tomorrow, we'll get the remainder of the funding out to them for those who were approved. We do have some funding left over, and we will be putting in an action item for the next Board of Commissioners meeting. We want to give out some more funds to those same businesses who already applied and have been approved. And apart from that, that's the end of the report.
Very good. That's very good, Honey. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey?
No, sir. Thank you.
Commissioner Carmona, any questions, sir?
No questions.
All right. Very good. I'm glad that we had 22 businesses apply for funding. That's good. All right. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Good morning, everyone. Not too much to report, just a couple updates on the radio project. We're about nearly completed with all the vehicle installations. We have five or six vehicles left in the county to get all radios put in. Sierra Electronics has been sending guys up every day. They've been coming up here going to Lockwood and putting in the sheriff's cars. I think there's maybe one or two patrol cars left they got to do. And there's a couple of scrambler vehicles. I think just couple of county radios here and everything to be put in, and those are done. The dispatchers will be training on the new equipment tomorrow. Motorola sent in a trainer upstairs and kind of go live with that on a training type scenario down there. Basically, the only thing that's holding me up right now is getting the phone system installed, and I'm basically waiting for AT&T to come through with that. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. Hopefully, sooner than later, but I'm kind of at their mercy right now. That's about all I have.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Dave?
No questions.
All right. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Dave?
No.
All right. Very good. Over to our planning department, Kathy Canfield.
I have nothing today, thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. From the Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Good morning. I just want to update everyone on the audit. We have a few minor pieces we're pulling together, and then hopefully by the end of the week, our auditor will have something to me to review, and then in the middle of next week, I'll pass it off to Austin to review. And the commissioner should have it for the December 15th meeting to approve.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
No, no questions.
All right. Commissioner Carmona?
No questions, Chairman.
All righty. We'll move on to all of our freshwater, wastewater, water projects. Mike Nevin?
Good morning, Chairman McBride, members of the commission. For the record, Mike Nevin. I assume you can hear me okay.
Loud and clear, Mike.
Very good. Thank you. A couple updates on the projects that we're working on. First, on the hillside tanks. Tank one, as you're well aware, is under construction. They put the third ring on that tank yesterday. We're hoping to get the fourth ring on by the end of the week, but that's dependent on weather, of course. Wind is not our favorite thing. In fact, today the welders, the boiler makers are not working due to the high winds up in the area. So safety, number one concern, of course. Once the fourth ring is installed, then they'll start on the interior columns of the tank, and the weather holds up, hopefully get the roof on quickly after that. So making nice progress with that project. I'll move on to the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant project. We did conduct the bid opening on November 4th. Received three bids, went through the process of review and vetting of those three that were received, and you will see an action item on your December 1st agenda for approval and award of bid for this project. One thing of interest, the low bidder, unfortunately, submitted a non-responsive bid. So we're recommending award to the second in line, but that brought a little bit of a challenge to us as far as funding. We always like to see where we're going to sit once we do receive bids for the project. So, excuse me. And as it turned out, we were a bit short and we wanted some contingency. So, once again, we reached out to our friends at USDA, Rural Development, Carson City. They've decided to come through again and allow us to utilize some additional grant funding that they secured from their national office in Washington, D.C. in the amount of $115,000. So the paperwork was signed to secure that money, and they've agreed to provide it to us, so that will allow us to move forward and get this Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Project completed and off the table once and for all. So some good news, and it's just been slow moving through the process because we have to secure this additional funding, and of course that comes you know, from the Washington, D.C. national office. So we did secure that, and thanks again to the USDA for coming through and helping us with this project. So again, as I mentioned, you'll see an action item on your December 1st meeting to move this project along and award bid. And that's all I have, unless you folks have questions of me.
Okay, great. Thanks for your updated report, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike today?
No, sir, thank you.
All righty. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike?
No questions. I do just want to give you a heads up, Chairman. Power split it twice. So if for some reason I disappear, I will have to call back in on my cell phone.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, great. Thanks, Jay. All right, let's move along now to the fire department and Chief Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Thank you for the record, Jeff Nevin. Just a couple of quick items. About a week and a half ago, we welcomed three of our newest firefighter paramedics to the fire district. We had a bad meeting, and we're honored to have the chairman read their oath to them. That was quite a nice thing for them as well as for me. So I thank you for that. And we are expecting, hopefully, our refurbished ambulance to be delivered. I'm hoping middle December to late December, so we can add it to our fleet of ambulances for that. That's all I have was for me.
All righty. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the fire chief?
Do not. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jeff?
I do, in relation to the fire in the Highlands. Was that just a structure fire, or did the residents up there burn it? Are you able to talk about that?
I believe it was caused due to chimney not being cleaned, but I would have to defer the actual cause to the fire.
Okay, but does the house burn, or was it just...
Yeah, it was a structure fire, it was a total loss.
Total loss, okay. Thank you.
All right, great. Thanks, Chief. Special Counsel, Mr. Morse.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I don't have anything right now, but I'll be on later in the agenda.
Very good. Thank you, Bob. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right, Keith. Thank you. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Hoffman, for the record, two items. Lockwood, there's going to be a town hall this tomorrow, Wednesday, the 18th, at 5:30. It will be a Zoom meeting. We're expecting a very large audience. The town hall will be a presentation by both county staff and the Charter River Flood Management folks on grant funding and potential abatement of flooding in the Mark Twain or the Mark Twain, the Lockwood community. This will involve both the Rainbow Bend community and the LCC neighborhood. And we'll look at both the funding mechanisms, existing mapping that exists, that is for the properties, and what we might actually be able to do with grant funding to deal with both the Truckee River flooding as well as the Long Valley Creek. So once again, that's Wednesday the 18th at 5:30. The Zoom link is posted. Secondly, community relations also wanted me to add to a report a little bit earlier that those folks here in town, the 22 businesses that requested $5,000 and $10,000 for COVID mitigation funding for their businesses, we had extra money left in the county, and so their team decided to double that. So any business that applied for $5,000 will get $10,000 instead. Any business that applied for $10,000 will get $20,000 instead. Laura Manfer has told me that several businesses have called her not only appreciative, but in some cases crying that this was the money they needed to stay in business. So I want to thank Honey and Laura and the folks with them working on this. They've done a great job, and hopefully this helps those businesses out and keep them open. Thank you.
Very good. That's good news, Austin. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
No,
No question, just a congratulations on that COVID disbursement of funds. I know how critical it's doing to everybody now.
Yep. Commissioner Carmona, do we still have you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. No questions.
All right, great. Thanks, Jay. Okay. Story County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
I have nothing today, thank you.
All right, Vanessa has nothing. So since I'm looking at the board, sometimes I miss people. So if I missed any elected officials, department heads or directors or staff that has something to report today. Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and we'll move on to item number 8. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman. Lance, do you have anything for us today?
Just a shout out and thank you to Sheriff Antonaro. He and I had a couple of conversations regarding the expansion of the Sheriff's Department. I don't know if bringing on these 300 deputies is a part of that program or not, but I am very, very happy to see that we're beefing up that department, especially in face of the potential that surrounds us today in the nation. Thank you very much.
You're right. Thank you, Lance. All right, Vice Chairman Carmona, do you have anything for us today?
Believe it or not, I have nothing.
All righty. Thank you, Jay. And the only thing that I have is just to echo Joe Curtis's statements about how well Story County residents have been faring during this COVID pandemic and that. And I think everybody's doing very well about wearing their masks, practicing the social distancing and the hand washing. I mean, I think it's incumbent on us to continue that practice. I mean, we've had some people who've gotten ill, but when you look at the percentages, I think we're doing very well in Story County, and so everyone just keep up the good practice. All right? Thank you. With that, we're going to go ahead and move on to item nine, discussion for possible action. This is a presentation from NDOT on the State Annual Transportation Infrastructure Work Program, and comments from the Story County Commission of Public to accept, modify, or reject the NDOT work program. So we have from NDOT today, representing everyone down there, is our director of NDOT. We have Christina Swallows with us, and I see Lee Bonner's on the board as well, who we've known Lee a long time. He's a former Douglas County commissioner, and he's been with NDOT for a long time, kind of acting as our liaison, I believe. And it looks like Tara Smaltz is on the board, too. So, Madam Director, would you like to lead us off with your presentation?
Thank you, Chairman. I have a presentation I can share with you, but I don't have permission to share my screen at this point.
Okay, we'll go ahead. Vanessa will do what needs to be done here. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that at some point we'll. Yeah.
I'm sad that we're not able to get together personally, but I'm glad that we still are figuring out a way to do it.
Right. Okay. You do. Okay. So the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here with you today, even if it is virtually. So thank you for having me. As you mentioned in the opening remarks, we have two primary goals of the meeting today. The first is that we will, I guess we actually have three, we'll share with you some of what's been accomplished this past year. We would like to get an update on your top two priorities and then your acceptance of the annual work program. And my first slide is the priority slide. We'll come back to this when we get to the motion part so you can discuss if you want to make any changes. As you can see, your top two priorities last year, the first one was IAE, the interchange evaluation at Lockwood. The second one was State Route 341, the stormwater road relinquishment. And just an update, we have completed a feasibility study for the IAE corridor, and part of that did include Lockwood. The Lockwood Interchange. So that was completed earlier this year. It was just a feasibility study at this point, but we are making progress towards evaluating all of the changes that may be needed for the IAE corridor between Vista and USA Parkway. On State Route 341, the stormwater road relinquishment, as I understand it, it's partially completed, but we are continuing to work with the county and the community on the ins and outs of that resolution. You can see you have four other items on here: the Egypt Rock Bridge Revision, State Route 341 and 342 Wildforest Management, US 50 and 341 the truck signage, as well as I-8 interchange evaluation at Walden Way. All right, so we also try to provide an update annually on some NDOT business. And this year we're updating you on the Women Data Plan and specifically the prioritization process. As you may recall, several years ago, we went through a multi-year effort across the entire state to work with our local and statewide partners to determine how we should develop our long-range process and how that advances through into our actual SIP and annual work program. The one that I got a plan was completed in December of 2018, so slightly before I joined the organization. And it identified six really great goals. As you can see on the left of the slide, enhance safety, preserve infrastructure, optimize mobility, transform economy, foster sustainability, and connect communities. And when I joined NDOT, I said, well, those are really great. How do we weigh those against each other? How do they play together? And how do they really shape our prioritization process? And so last year, we took the first next step, which was to weight each of those six goals against each other, and then also develop criteria for each of those goals and create weightings for those. So I think in all, we have 15 different criteria that we weight. And we use that information to help develop our SIP and our annual work program this year. So the annual work program that was approved by our board in August was based on the data-driven process using the criteria that we developed and are identified really, and use the projects that were already in the process. The next step for the annual work program, though we're in the midst of developing it right now, is really looking at creating a needs-based process where we will, at the very beginning, at the top of this page, the long-range training needs, we will be looking at where are the greatest safety concerns across the state? Where are our biggest bottlenecks? Where are our biggest issues with wildlife crossings? So we're really going back to needs-based. Once we identify those needs, then starting to develop what are the projects that we need to address those needs? And being really big picture about those, not just going to our typical, this is what we normally do, but really being big picture and seeing if we can figure out better, more cost-effective and efficient ways to develop programs to address our needs at the highest level. And then as we work through that, they will come down into our SIP and annual work program at the end. I should note that as we are working on our SIP and our annual work program, we have identified a few areas that you can see down there. We harmonize the project. So we're looking at how do we distribute the funds across the state to ensure some level of equity, but also make sure that we're managing and preserving our assets that we have across the state. So we have this critical balance that we have to do, especially considering there never seems to be enough revenue. In fact, NDOT faces a roughly $530 million annual shortfall. So this is where we are. We currently have a data-driven process for identifying the project prioritization, those projects that have already been identified. And coming up in the next year or so, we will have a process, a data-driven process, to really identify where the needs are so that we're addressing the most critical needs across the state on an annual basis. All right, so in 2021, this shows us our work program, but it also shows us the accomplishments of fiscal year 20. And you can see in fiscal year 20, we did a chip seal for about 6 miles of State Route 439. Coming up in this fiscal year 2021, we have a bridge replacement. Prioritized for Bridge 1490. It's a $6 million bridge replacement. Some work at the Virginia Street Maintenance Yard on State Route 342. And then also the purchase of a van. For an ADA accessible van, as well as 3 SUVs for ambulatory services. So we're excited to have an $8.8 million work program for the county in the coming year. And then that brings me to the two action items for you. Chairman McBride, I will turn it over to you. We have two that we're looking for, an affirmation or adjustment to your top two priority county concerns, as well as an acceptance of the fiscal year 2021 book.
Okay. Thank you, Director. So, Mr. Osborne, it's my understanding that we still have these two items as our top priority, and everything else that's on the director's list on the STIP and the annual work program. Is there anything that you would recommend or suggest that we should make any adjustments to on this?
Part of the conversation, I wouldn't mind kind of integrating with you and the commissioners. I do believe that the three of you have some comments you want to make are important. I have two things I would like to mention. Director Swallow and your team, thank you for accepting the 58 or so letters from Lockwood residents. They do have an extreme concern for the Interstate 80 on-ramp for westbound. It's a senior community, and also those folks down there. Not only are the seniors, they're fixed income. Some of them drive cars that may not necessarily have milk to get up into that westbound lane fast enough. And we really keep really pushing that's a very strong safety concern we have. Thank you for receiving those letters, and we'd be happy to talk about that and continue. And then secondly, I want to just ask, how much collaboration has your team had on the Sparks and Marshall County Lansdale in their proposals for the Wapasada route to bypass Interstate 80 from USA Parkway approximately to Wapasada from Spanish Springs? Thank you.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you for the question. The Lansdale, we are familiar with it. We are definitely engaged at some level, but it really is a county-driven process and not something that we're driving. But we are familiar with it and will engage as needed and as requested along the way.
I'd like to follow up on that, Director. Does your department or do you as the director have the ability to go ahead and support a Lansville such as that, which would seem that it would take a lot of pressure off the I-80 corridor by going ahead and having all of those people that work in that part of Washoe County have a direct line of shot basically to get into the industrial park as opposed to having to go all the way down and come up the Interstate 80 corridor to get there?
If requested and we got to the point where our support was requested, we would evaluate it and look at it and really determine what is being proposed with the additional corridor and who the ownership and maintenance would belong to. As I mentioned, we have a $503 million annual shortfall on our budget as it is, and so as we look at possibly expansions of our facilities, we have to balance that. Certainly understand that it might shift the traffic off of IE to additional corridor, into an alternate corridor, and that could definitely be a benefit. But we need to balance and manage that. So at this point, I do not believe we've been asked to weigh in one way or the other, but we are monitoring.
Okay, very good. I want to go to my fellow commissioners and ask them if they have any questions or comments or input on this. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman.
Christina, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Just a couple of comments on these without being a dead horse. But 75% of the employees that go to Tesla every day, 75%. And I think they're approaching now out there about 15,000 employees. But they live north of I-80. So Wapasada Road has the Park Road and has the Pest Roads, among other things. We're going to see increased traffic on I-80, and I think I would hope that your folks would find that the Wapasada is a very practical route. We've got to get the landfill put together to order to make that happen. Ed Lawson, who is the mayor there of Sparks, and I have met along with the other commissioners, and we're 100% behind that project. So if there's anything that we can do with the county or the city of Sparks, we would really look forward to having some interaction and talk about that construction project. And the other thing is, of course, I am a District 3 commissioner. I live out in the Lockwood area, and so I'm assuming you've driven that, but if you haven't, it's an exceptionally dangerous, just not long enough to merge the traffic. So if we can't improve that anytime soon. I believe that it would be very helpful to slow the speed down in that area. Merging onto a highway that's running, and most folks run 65 to 70 miles an hour, maybe 75. And as you merge there, most of us, our necks aren't fast enough to look over on each other. And so it is, we believe, a very dangerous place there for our residents. And of course, Granite Construction uses all that with their construction work. They're on the hill, and so that is their merging interchange, if you will, to get on the highway as well. And those trucks trying to get started from scratch are very slow. So if we can't improve it, if we can't widen that ingress or egress, then it would be real optimum for us just to change the speed limit in that area. So I offer those two things, and thank you for taking the time to be with us, sir.
Thank you, Lance. So move over to Vice Chairman Carmona. Do you have any questions, concerns, comments, questions for the director?
First of all, Director, thank you for your time today. Appreciate the report. I will echo what Commissioner Gilman said. And, you know, I have not traveled that road in a few months, to be honest with you. But the idea of possibly some signage urging drivers to move over to the fast lane before that Lockwood on-ramp, if that does not exist, it would be great to see at least some of that signage there. I know signage isn't cheap, but it's definitely cheaper than adding lane to the freeway. So if we could at least do something like that for the residents in Lockwood, I know it would be an appreciated, definitely be appreciated by those folks. So that would be my only suggestion if there is not already signage up there like that.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jay. And as Director Swallow, as Commissioner Gilman said, not to beat the horse to death. In the 8 years that I've been here, it wasn't always our top priority for that on-ramp out of Lockwood, but we have mentioned it every year for 8 years to your team or the deputy director who used to attend these meetings that preceded you. As I looked over your PowerPoint presentation, I know that NDOT's going to spend several million dollars in Story County over the next couple of years. A lot of that money's being spent on I-80, and I'd hope that at some point they can get it widened out there. The traffic out there, you get the reports. The accident count on Interstate 80 is unbelievable. And, you know, our guys out there out of Station 74 and Station 70, Lockwood and the Industrial Park, they're rolling on these accidents on a daily basis, you know, assisting Washoe County and the Highway Patrol and everything. It's just incredible. So it's a major concern. I don't think anybody ever dreamed that by putting a little industrial park out there, we'd end up with this much traffic and these many accidents. But it's a major concern. I drive the 341 Geiger grade to Reno often, and I know there's been a lot of contractor work going on down there. They're replacing a lot of the culverts down there, which is great for drainage for the winter runoff and stuff like that. So we see a lot of nice improvements going on that portion of our road here. And I always like to do a shout out to your team that goes ahead and mans the maintenance yard up here in Virginia City. Your team up here works seamlessly with our county road maintenance as well for snow removal in the winter and anything else that seems to come up that needs to be repaired, the guardrail repair work like that and highway. So your team that works up here does a terrific job, and we always like to know you as the director know how we appreciate the work that they do here. With that, I'm going to go ahead and open it up if there's any public comment regarding this item before we go ahead and call for a motion to approve this. So would anybody like to comment on this presentation from Nevada Department of Transportation today?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Johnson requests to be recognized.
Go right ahead, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Director, thanks so much for being here in person. This is Chris Thompson. I'm the project manager for Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And first, I want to say thank you for all the efforts that you and your team have put into USA Parkway. You guys have done absolutely superb work, quick turnaround, very efficient, and beautiful work that you put into that road. And I think it's really going to help the build out of the park, which will help Surrey County and help the state of Nevada create even more jobs. And at the risk of being a dead horse, Madam Director, I'm going to go ahead and get dead horse a little bit more on this Lockwood interchange issue. So we've been dealing with this for quite some time. Keep in mind that in Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, during between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., we have about 5,000 or 25,000 jobs. And on any given day, we'll have probably 5,000 to 9,000 big rigs coming in and out of that park. And the vast majority of that big rig traffic goes westbound to points west, Bay Area, Los Angeles, Seattle, with the distribution and the fulfillment centers that we have here. So that sends all that big rig traffic right past the Lockwood interchange. And then, of course, you have the natural east-west logistics flow on I-80 that goes to visit the main east-west logistics corridor for the West Coast. And so you have elderly folks, as the county manager mentioned, in older cars. They don't have the horsepower or the ability to merge quickly into that heavy traffic, and then interacting with all the big rigs coming through, not only from TRI, but also the normal transcontinental traffic. It's not only a major safety issue for the residents of Lockwood, but it's also a huge issue for the big rig drivers and the trucks coming through there. And I'm sure you've seen the accident numbers in that corridor, and it shuts down the entire interstate, typically for hours. And so, as the chairman indicated, this has been our priority for at least a number of years now. And so anything that NDOT could do to lengthen that on-ramp and for the Lockwood residents, I think would not only improve their safety, but also improve the safety from everybody on the interstate that having to avoid a slowdown or big rigs braking or big rigs, coming to an impediment to good traffic flow there. And so anything that you guys could do at this point would be greatly appreciated. I think would help in a number of different ways. But again, I want to go back to the point I made at the outset. Thanks so much. You guys have been, USA Parkway is gorgeous. And right now, it is a world-class arterial for the biggest industrial park in the world. And please thank Cole Mortensen and all your people, Pedro, everybody that worked on that. They've done a great job. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Madam Director.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. All right, I'll continue on. Is there additional public comment today? Hearing no additional public comment, I'll go to Vice Chairman Carmona. Would you like to entertain a motion, Mr. Carmona? And there's two recommended motions on here, and I don't see any amendments, so I would suggest we use recommended motion A.
Sounds good to me, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the Nevada Department of Transportation annual work plan for 2020 as presented.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Terrific. All right. Once again, Director Swallow, thank you for attending today.
Chairman McBride, can yes. I also ask for a motion to reaffirm your top two priorities?
Sure. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, would you like to do this?
And that's why there were two motions. The one is for the top two priorities, and the other one is for the annual work program. I'm sorry, I just wasn't clear.
All right. Perhaps I didn't read
it. Sure. So, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the Nevada Department of Transportation's annual work plan for 2020 and to reaffirm our top two requests brought forth by this board. Does that work?
That works.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay.
Thank you.
Good to go. Great. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
All righty. Let's move along now to item number 10. This is discussion for possible action. Authorize the county manager and staff to go to public bid for necessary road and shoulder repairs, including patch, slurry, and shoulder repairs to Cartwright Road within Virginia City Highlands as part of the Countywide Roads Capital Improvement Plan, the CIP, contingent on the board approving a resolution to accept the apparent winning bid for the project at a later meeting date. This includes segments of road owned or managed by Story County and owned by the Virginia City Highlands Property Owners Association, the VCHPOA. Mr. Osborne, are you going to handle this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to acknowledge Deputy D.A. Keith Loomis, who was instrumental in helping put this together. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. This would enable us to go to bid, to have a third-party contractor complete the entire length of Cartwright between SR-341 and the fire station. This would go for the portion of the county road that's currently the first mile, and the portion that's owned by the VCHPOA to do a full rehabilitation of the road, including shoulder, asphalt, you know, the whole works. Thank you, Keith Loomis, for coming up with a way to make this happen while we still work out some easement discussions and ownership. At this point, then we would go to bid, and Jason W. from Public Works has estimated about $150,000 as what's in the budget for this.
Great. Thanks, Austin. Does Commissioner Gilman, do you have any follow-up questions for Austin on this?
No question, thank you.
All righty. Vice Chairman Carmona, do you have any follow-up, sir?
No questions. I'm just kind of expressing how happy I am to see this finally getting sorted out. So.
Yep. Terrific. Okay. How about if we open up for public comment? I see Mr. Thompson has his hand up. You can go first. Or was that from before?
That was from before, Mr. Chairman. I apologize.
Okay. We had a lot of things up on the screen, so I don't get to see everything. But anyway, I'll open up once more. Any more public comment on this item? All right. Hearing no public comment, Vice Chairman Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
My pleasure. I, Jay Carmona, motion to authorize the county manager and staff to go to public bid for necessary road and shoulder repairs, including patch, slurry, and shoulder repairs to Cartwright Road within the Virginia City Highlands as part of a countywide roads capital improvement plan, contingent on the board approving a resolution to accept the apparent winning bid for the project at a later meeting date. This includes segments of road owned or managed by Story County and owned by the Virginia City Highlands Property Owners Association, the VCHPOA.
I'll second that motion.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. We'll move on to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. A letter of support to the Nevada State Public Works Division to seek federal grant funding for critical repairs and improvements to the Marlette Water System, ensuring the ongoing operation of the system. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As stated, the State Public Works Division is making improvements and repairs to the Marlette Water System on the state side. This would be west of 580. There's some dam work and other work that they're doing. This letter really supports. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for providing a letter as chair. And then this would just be for the whole board to provide that support.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you, Austin. The Of course, we all know that the water system is over 150 years old, built by the miners back in the 1870s to provide water for the mines and mills here in Virginia City. So, and of course, the business district as well. And it's always going to be just like every other public works project. There's when you have water and you have wastewater, you're always going to have maintenance. And so, with any event, when we're looking at the Marlette water system, it provides the water for Virginia City, Gold Hill, Silver City. Carson City goes ahead and siphons off a little bit of that too. But it's quite a system. And so if we can get some grant funding, federal grant funding to help do the improvements, it's gonna help out a lot, because it's quite an amazing system, and it's very expensive to maintain. So with that said, I'll go to fellow commissioners and ask them if they have any questions for Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin regarding this?
No questions, thank you, Mark.
All righty. Commissioner Carmona?
No questions either.
Okay, at this time I'll open up. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, sir. I, J. Carmona, motion to approve letter of support to the Nevada State Public Works Division to seek federal grant funding for critical repairs and improvements to the Marlette Bay water system, ensuring the ongoing operation of the system.
I'll take that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 12, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible acceptance of a quitclaim deed of dedication and notice of relocation of easement submitted by EP Minerals LLC to relocate a proposed easement crossing its property to Electric Avenue, which crosses its property at a different location.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mr. Loomis.
I'm going to handle this item in particular. Back in 1999, Eagle Belcher recorded a parcel map which depicted an access easement crossing its property, which was intended to align with the USA Parkway. When the USA Parkway was actually built and dedicated to the county, it was in a slightly different alignment, which caused the access easement to not work. So what subsequently happened was that the Electric Avenue was built. It was then dedicated to the county by Eagle Culture, but they did not realign the access easement that was depicted on the 1999 parcel map. And so that was inadvertent on their part, and what they want to do is to realign that access easement with the Electric Avenue and basically have it be no longer in existence. Not cross their property in a place that doesn't make any sense anymore. So they are asking the county to concur with the acceptance of this correction dedication deed and notice of relocating easement, which is before you today. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. I'll go to Commissioner Gilman. Commissioner, do you have any questions for Keith on a follow-up on this?
No, I do not. We've been working at amending this for some time now, and well needed, so no questions.
All right, very good. Thanks, Lance. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Keith?
No questions, Keith.
All right. Thank you, Jay. All right, we'll open up. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay, I don't hear any public comment. I believe, Keith, as you've already stated, this is just a housekeeping measure, which is just something that needs to be cleaned up. It doesn't financially affect the county in any way. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right. Okay. With that said, I'll go to Vice Chairman Carmona and ask you to entertain a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the quitclaim deed of dedication and notice of relocation of easement submitted by EP Minerals LLC and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second that motion.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, let's go on here. We're going to item 13, I believe.
Yes, we are.
And using an abundance of extreme caution, it's not absolutely clear. However, I have a pecuniary interest in part of the project, although not the specific issue with the project. But be that as it may, I'm going to recuse from discussing or voting on this issue. And again, just using an abundance of caution.
Very good. Thank you, Lance. So item 13 is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the first reading of Bill number 126, Ordinance number 20-315, providing for this substitution of the Story County Board of County Commissioners as the ex officio Board of Trustees of the Reno Tahoe Industrial General Improvement District, the TRIGID. Mr. Loomis.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This ordinance is authorized by NRS 318.0953, under which if the board is inclined to do so, they can become ex officio of the Board of Trustees of the GID. That's accomplished by adopting an ordinance. So this ordinance does provide that if the board is so inclined, that the Board of County Commissioners would become ex officio of the Board of Trustees of the TRIGID. The existing Board of Trustees has passed a resolution asking the county to take that action, and Sherry Whalen is with us and can expand upon the purpose of the request.
All right. Thanks, Keith. Sherry, would you like to go ahead and weigh in?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the Tri-General Improvement District's been in operation since 2001 as water and sewer service for the Tahoe Regional Industrial Center. And because there's no residential development within the Tahoe Regional Industrial Center, it makes it very difficult for the General Improvement District to find qualified people, who residents of the service area, to serve on our Board of Trustees. And currently we have five seats, two of them are vacant, cannot fill those positions. And, you know, so we have a vulnerability in the event that we don't have a board member that is able to attend one of our meetings. Even if we have a trustee who's ill, we don't have a quorum and we can't complete the business of the General Improvement District. So historically, it's been very difficult to fill those five seats. And then COVID, of course, has caused, you know, significant disruption in people's lives and making board oversight even more difficult. You know, our trusted professional lives have been disrupted and it's had a profound effect on operations. So this is even more relevant now dealing with the COVID pandemic. To add, make matters more complicated, one of our trustees actually will term out in January, and so we will at that point have only two trustees who are qualified to serve, and we cannot complete the business of the General Improvement District. You know, my personal opinion is that, you know, Story County taking over as the ex officio Board of Trustees is basically, you know, ensuring, you know, the economic engine of this region being able to have reliable water and sewer, so very important. If you would like, Mr. Chairman, I can talk a little bit about the changes that have occurred with the GID over the last 18 months since I've come on board, but I'm not sure if you want me to get into the details of that today's meeting.
I don't know if that's necessary today, Sherry. But let me go over to Commissioner Carmona, and I'll ask Jay if he has any questions for either you or Keith or anyone else on this matter.
I do not. I spoke with Keith and Oscar and Snyder pretty well, up to speed and feel comfortable.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and we'll open up for public comment at this time.
There's no public comment, Mr. Chairman. I'll make a non-public comment.
Go right ahead there, Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Austin Osborne, for the record. I just wanted to reiterate here, this is not the county taking over the GID. It is not assuming the county's GID or GID's debt or any other responsibilities. It is simply, as Keith Lomas has explained in earlier meetings, and as Keith put together here, just the oversight, ex officio Board of Directors. The GID remains a completely independent, separate very important to be emphasized. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Austin. Yeah, when this GID was created some 20 years ago, the county never anticipated that that they would end up being involved with the GID. But here we are with all of the things that have been pointed out. I mean, that's where we are. I never thought that the county was going to be ex officio of the Board of Commissioners would be the ex officio of the GID. But it looks like going forward, we're going to need to do that. And so with all of everything that's been brought forward to me and all the discussions we've had, I'm supportive of it. And with that said, I'm going to ask Commissioner Carmona if you would entertain a motion to approve this. This is the first reading of the ordinance, by the way.
Absolutely, Chairman.
Excuse
me, Mr. Chairman? Yes. I need to read the title of the
ordinance in first. Okay, go right ahead and do that, Mr. Loomis.
This title is an ordinance by which the Story County Board of County Commissioners shall become the ex officio Board of Trustees of the TRI General Improvement District pursuant to Nevada Revised Statute Chapter 318, providing other matters properly relating thereto. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. All right. With that, Mr. Carmona, if you'd continue on with your motion.
My pleasure. I, Jay Carmona, hereby move to approve first reading of ordinance number 20-315 and set the matter for a public hearing.
Okay, set the motion. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. With that, we'll go ahead and welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board. And we will move on now to item number 14, discussion for possible action. A possible adjustment to the 070-070-64010-000 capital project fund in the amount of $60,000. So are you going to handle that, Austin, or is James Dean going to handle this?
We have our IT director, James Dean, and Jennifer Comptroller and I will also be here if needed.
James Dean, Story County IT Director. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the last leg of the Motorola radio project that the county's been working on in the last year or so. When we initially signed the contract, this site did not yet exist, so we were unable to get the cost for this point-to-point link. The point-to-point microwave link goes from Palm Peak to the new USA Parkway site and is going to provide a significant coverage increase for all of our public safety departments. And like I said, it was anticipated, but we couldn't get cost until the site was completed. The site is about 99% completed. The solar array is there. The structures are there. It's just a matter of minor wiring that NDOT is finishing up. So we're asking for this to finish the final leg of this project as far as the microwave backbone is concerned.
Okay, great. Thanks for that, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any follow-up questions for James?
I do not, thank you.
All righty, thank you, Lance. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any follow-up questions?
I do not.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, sir. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the adjustment to the 070-070-64010-000 capital project, not to exceed $60,000, to purchase and install a single point-to-point microwave link, switching equipment, racking, power supply, surge protection, and inverter to extend the Motorola VHF radio system to include the newly completed USA Parkway tower site.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item 15 is to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us up to item number 16, this is discussion for possible action for the Board of Fire Commissioners to provide direction to staff and determine the course of action to hire, promote a new fire chief. So I'll turn this over to Chief Nevin.
Morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jeff Nevin. As the board was made aware, October 6th, I announced my intent to retire at the end of the year. With that, staff, myself, and the HR director, we are looking for direction from the fire board as to how we'd like to proceed in filling this position for the fire chief for the fire district. There's a couple of different options, and if you'd like, I can give you what my preference would be. Is I believe we have a staff member in the fire district that would be more than capable of handling this position. I would suggest that we start with the internal posting and go from there with your wishes.
All right. It's I've never made it any secret, being on this board, that I like to always look to hire and promote from within the county for people who've made their place here. I'm not one who likes to go on nationwide searches to fill vacancies within the county government. I have always believed that those closest to home understand what's the most necessary and cost efficient and best way of doing policy, especially those who have maybe worked in government, whether it's in the sheriff's office, the fire department, or within the courthouse bounds. So, but anyway, I just want everybody to know where I stand on this, is that I concur with the fire chief that I think we should look internally first to see if there's someone who can step up and assume the position of a fire chief before we looked any further. With that, I would turn to my fellow commissioners to get their input on this too. So how about if I go to Commissioner Gilman first?
Hello, Commissioner. I agree with everything you said. I would prefer to promote from within to the extent that we have qualified personnel. And as Jeff suggested, he believes that we do. So I think that's the first way. And if we find the individual there that we all agree is very capable, then I would suggest that we promote from within.
Okay. Thank you, Lance. Commissioner Carmona, your thoughts?
I have no objections to looking within first.
Okay. And with that, let's see here. Well, we go ahead and we'll, before I say anything further, I'm going to open it up for public comment. Any public comment out there? Hearing none, I'm going to go to legal counsel and ask Mr. Loomis. So would it be appropriate to ask Commissioner Carmona to entertain a motion to go to staff to go ahead and post and interview internally for a replacement for our fire chief?
Yes, I think that's appropriate.
Okay. So with that said, I'll go to Commissioner Carmona and ask you to do the same.
Hi, Jay Carmona. I make a motion that Human Resources perform all necessary steps to recruit first from within qualified candidates to fill the fire chief position.
I'll second that motion, Jay.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
You.
Okay, item 17 is to recess as the Story County Board of Fire Commissioners and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 18. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the selection of Sierra Builders of Nevada in the design-build solicitation and authorize the county manager to execute an agreement with Sierra Builders of Nevada for installation of a fire suppression system and related structural repairs to the VNT Freight Depot in Virginia City, for a not-to-exceed amount of $152,550. Is Mr. Northang going to take this item?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Great. Mike, go right ahead.
Thank you. Mike Martin, Operations and Projects Coordinator. This item is, as I said, to address the need for fire suppression system, alarm system, and some related structural work in the BMC Freight Depot. The need for a fire suppression system has been known in this building since the county purchased it in 2019. Staff drafted a request for qualifications in order to solicit design build teams and initial proposals. This was publicized on the Story County website as well as the Comstock Chronicle and ran from June 22 to June 29. During that time, we received one response. Staff then re-ran the solicitation from October 5 to October 9, and an additional response was received. The solicitation was for statements of qualifications in order to select the best possible design build team to address this work. Statements of qualifications were received from Sierra Builders of Nevada, as well as Request Construction. Both companies are licensed in Nevada, both have good track records of completed projects. Both companies utilize the Nevada licensed fire suppression company, which is registered with the state fire marshal. Both utilize the Nevada licensed structural engineer. Both companies also submitted statements that demonstrate compliance with NRS sections that are required as part of a design build proposal under NRS 338. The published request for qualifications also included a section called Factors and Weights, which laid out a weighting system that emphasized experience in working with the State Historical Preservation Office and the Comstock Historic District. Another emphasis area was in working with fire suppression in high-risk buildings. One of these design build teams excelled in these areas with a track record of similar projects. Staff meant to review and evaluate the submitted proposals against the requirements as set forth in the request for qualifications. Sierra Builders of Nevada submitted the best proposal in the opinion of our reviewers. Sierra Builders has an extensive track record of successful projects under the jurisdiction of SHPO as well as CHD. They also have the lowest bid at $152,550. So for the recommendation of staff, that the Board of County Commissioners authorize the county manager to accept the proposal from Sierra Builders and execute an agreement with them for the installation of a fire suppression system and the related structural work.
So, I'm glad that we're moving forward on this. I've always felt that we can't get a fire suppression system in the freight depot soon enough. Anyway, they've done a great job of getting it all cleaned up and cleaned out down there. So anyway, that's a good first start. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike regarding this item?
I do not, Marshall. We need to spread for that building and save the district, so I'm behind that 100%.
Very good. Thank you, Lance. Commissioner Carmona?
I have no questions, but I do concur. I think it's long overdue, so
yeah.
Glad we're moving on this.
Very good. Thank you, Jay. We open up for public comment.
Chairman, I have one comment I just want to make.
Go right ahead, Austin.
Thank you. I just want to note the improvements to this building will be paid for at the quarter cent sales tax for the BMC railroad projects. Those are the funds specifically designated for this sort of thing. Thank you.
That's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up, Austin. Okay. That said, Vice Chairman Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve selection of Sierra Builders of Nevada design build team and authorize the county manager to execute an agreement with Sierra Builders of Nevada for installation of a fire suppression system and related structural repairs at the BNT Freight Depot in Virginia City for the not to exceed amount of $152,550.
I'll second your motion, Jay.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Moving right along now to item number 19, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible action on consideration of the business impact statement for the proposed diesel tax and ordinance. So we're going to call on Mr. Osborne or Mr. Morris at this time.
I'd like to defer to Mr. Morris. He's online with us. Thank
okay.
You.
Very good.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. This
This is Robert Morris for the record. The item before you today is about a business impact statement. It was based on legislation passed last session, which authorized certain smaller counties to impose an additional tax on diesel fuel along with other provisions. The legislation authorized Story County to enact up to a 5-cent tax on diesel fuel. Before the board can approve the actual ordinance, it's required under NRS 237 to consider business impact statement that determines whether the proposed ordinance imposes a direct and significant economic burden on the businesses or directly restricts the formation or operation or expansion of the business. What this is on for today is basically an introduction. One of the requirements is that we put notice out to anybody that might be affected and then report back to the board any comments that come in. So what we're asking for today is that you continue this matter until the December 1st board meeting, and there'll be a public hearing at that time with the potential review of any comments that come in.
Okay. So, Mr. Moore, should we hold public comment on this, or should we just do a motion to continue at this point?
Either way.
This is okay. This, you know what? I'm leaning towards just going ahead and asking for continuation on this. There's not really much to discuss on this, since we won't get any feedback until the December 1st meeting.
That would be fine. You could just continue to the December 1st meeting.
Okay. So, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to continue this item?
Yes, I would. But before that, I would like to make my position known regarding this. Early on,
I was going to, you know what, since the next item up, the next item up has to do with the diesel tax. This is just the business impact statement.
Gotcha. Okay. I will say my statement then.
Okay.
What? I, Jay Carmona, move to continue consideration of the business impact statement to the December 1st, 2020 board meeting.
Second, Jay's motion.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, now moving along to item number 20, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible action on the first reading of Bill number 127, Ordinance number 20-316, amending Story County Code Chapter 3.76, motor fuel tax road repair by imposing a tax on special fuel that consists of diesel fuel sold in Story County. Okay, I'll go back to Mr. Morris on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the actual ordinance imposing the 5-cent tax. It's the first reading. So if it's okay with Mr. Chairman, I'll read the title into the record. This is an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 3.76 Motor Vehicle Fuel Tax Road Repair by imposing a tax on special fuel that consists of diesel fuel sold in Story County and providing for other properly related matters.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Morris. Okay, Commissioner Carmona, I'll go to you first off. How's that?
All right, appreciate that. First, I want to say I've done my research. I also did go down to the legislature and speak on behalf of giving the county the opportunity to impose this tax. While I understand the majority of the taxes are going to be carried by folks that don't live in Story County, we do have a gas station in town.
and there are some folks who may feel left out on Interstate 80. And what I would like to see happen is I would like to see this put to the voters. I understand that any dollar amount we can get to help fix the roads that we do have is welcomed. But I truly believe that this needs to be put to the voters on the next ballot. And that's how I'd like to see this move forward. We'll let them decide if this tax is appropriate.
Okay. Thank you, Jake. All right. Commissioner Gilman.
Well, the only comment I have is that we are becoming a major truck center. I think that Walmart alone, perhaps approaching 1,000 trucks a day, and I'm not exactly sure of that number, but we are a distribution hub at PRI in our county. We're a fulfillment center hub coming both ways, and there are other fueling centers out there. So the revenue stream to our county, if we don't look seriously at PRI, I believe we're going to get an awful lot of money at the table, versus how many folks might be impacted under a diesel scenario with 5 cents. But I for one, am encouraged and would hope we take a real serious look at collecting that diesel tax out of the Poway Industrial Center station.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Gilman. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open this up for public comment before I come back with my closing comments on this. So anyway, we're going to open this up for public comment. Please go ahead and leave, and wishing to make comments, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. And these are comments only. It's not going to be a debate today, okay? Just want to get that on the table before we start. So who would like to go first? See any hands up? Nobody? Okay. No one's prepared to make any public comment now, of course. You'll have a...
Is it okay if I make one comment?
Go right ahead, Mr. Morse.
Okay. Commissioner Carmona said is correct. There's two alternative ways to do this. The ordinance can be approved by at least two-thirds of the board, or the matter can be submitted to the voters and approved by the majority of registered voters. So there are two methods of approval for this ordinance.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Morse. Okay, it's my intention to push this forward with a two-thirds vote of this board. My history on this goes back two legislatures. I went ahead and testified at the last two legislatures in Carson City, in 2000. In any event, at the last legislature, they finally passed it. Of the 17 counties in Nevada, Clark County and Washoe County have had this motor fuel tax in place for years. Clark County even before Washoe. The 15 rural counties have been left out on this. And so we were instrumental with the Quad County Coalition pushing this forward, because we've got all of these rural counties who, and like here in Story County, we've got the industrial park where we have hundreds of 18-wheelers going in and out of the industrial park every day, tearing up the roads that have to be repaired, and they're not paying into the county treasury in order to make those repairs. So the argument that we're using in order to impose this tax is that we're just asking for what the two largest counties in the state have been getting all along. So with that said, if the people who are driving the 18-wheelers in the industrial park aren't paying their fair share, then the 4,000 residents of Story County are going to be paying their share for them. And I equate this to an issue of fairness, and this is as I testified before the last legislature, is that I drive a big gasoline-powered pickup truck, And my brother drives a big diesel-powered pickup truck. So when I fill up with gasoline, I'm paying a motor fuel tax to Story County in order to help repair the roads in Story County. Where my brother, who fills up his truck with diesel fuel and tears up the roads of Story County, he's getting a free pass. He's not paying 5 cents to repair the same roads that I am, and we're driving the same vehicles, except they use different motor fuel. And that's all it is a system of fairness that everybody who drives on the roads of Story County with motor fuel, and they'll have to get to electric somewhere down the line, everybody needs to pay their fair share. Now, I'm not a tax and spend liberal by any means, but this is just an issue of fairness. And so, as Commissioner Gilman laid out, we're leaving a lot of money on the table if we don't go forward with this. And the people who are going to benefit the most of it are the people that are doing most of the damage to the roads of Story County. Now, I agree with Jay on some of the parts that I think that residents should have a say in things, but they have. We live in a representative government where people elect us to do the voting for them. If we brought every issue that you saw on this agenda to the voters of Story County, a lot of stuff would never get done. And when it comes to a tax implementation, this isn't even a tax increase because there is no county sales tax on diesel fuel. This would never get passed because we know how residents are. If they see a bill of a tax on the ballot, they're going to vote it down no matter what. Because we as government, we cannot go out and lobby. We cannot advertise and give everybody the reasons why they should vote in favor of something like this. It's not allowed under statute. So it would all have to be, would you tell so-and-so and so-and-so tell so-and-so that this is a good idea for the county? It would just never happen. And so being a representative of the residents in Story County, I'm going to push forward for this because I think it's in the best issue, in the best interest of Story County to have those people who are tearing up our roads pay to repair them. So with that said, I think, and I've said enough, is I'm going to go to Commissioner Gilman and ask Commissioner Gilman if he would entertain a motion to approve this as is.
Yes, Marshall, I will. Possible consideration, possible action. So I think Gilman would move to ask for the consideration of possible action on the first reading of Bill Number 127, Ordinance Number 2316, amending the Story County Code Chapter 3.76, Motor Fuel Road Repair, by imposing a tax, special fuel, that consists of diesel fuel sold in Story County.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, before you take a second.
Go ahead, Mr. Osborne.
Mr. Morris had put an explicit recommended motion language in there. I just want to make sure Mr. Morris is comfortable with that motion and read the title. I think Mr. Morris may want the actual motion to be read verbatim. Is that correct? Thank you.
Okay.
I do have a suggested motion in there, and that might be the easiest thing to do is just adopt that.
Well, Marshall, at this time, I do not have that suggested language.
Okay. Give us 1 second there, Lance.
If you're looking for it, it's on the front cover page. The motion is, it says, quote unquote, I move to approve the first reading of ordinance number 20-316.
Austin, you want to send that to my email?
Yes, I'll do that right now.
Thank you, my email.
All
see how fast this ether is.
Hope it doesn't go by Pony Express.
Yeah.
Okay. If you just want to write it down, Lance, it's just, I move to approve the first reading of Ordinance 20-316.
I move to approve, as read.
The first reading.
Yeah.
I move to approve the first reading of Ordinance number 20-316.
All right, let's give this a try.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the first reading of the ordinance number 20-316.
Very good. I have a motion. Do I have a second? I'll second your motion. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Okay, the ayes have it. Thank you. Moving along night to item number 21, discussion for possible action. Approval of resolution number 20-594, ratifying the COVID-19 business impact related decision of the Public Works Director to decline to use its authority to enforce payment and delinquent rates and charges through the shutoff of water and sewer utility services and authorization of the county manager and the public works director to jointly determine when to end the moratorium and shutoffs. Mr. Loomis?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is results from... It was a request made by the governor's office back on March 12th of this year in which they asked the water utilities to submit to the Public Utilities Commission statements to the effect that they would not enforce payment of bills through shutoffs. Now, and Public Works did that back on March 15th or so, shortly afterwards. And what we're asking for right now is for the board to ratify that statement. But as time has gone by, a number of the utilities that submitted those statements have ended them. They've stopped the moratorium on shutoffs. And so what we want to ask the board to approve is that if the county manager and the director of public works agree, they can resume the process of collecting the bills through water and sewer shutoffs.
All righty, very good. Thank you, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Keith regarding this resolution?
I don't, Al. I'm curious, with this COVID continuing the way it is, and there seems to be a major unknown as to the duration, I'm wanting to discuss with the board at this point, do we want to force utility payments during a time when so many people are at work and so much financial challenges out there, and do we actually want to enforce something along those lines? And I realize that there would be a vote of two folks, so certainly that would give it some oversight, but I'd be interested in your opinion regarding this. I'm not really comfortable shutting off basic services for folks during the wintertime, and especially during this COVID challenge.
Well, I think I have the same concerns you do, Lance. I know that the governor went ahead and he lifted the moratorium on people being evicted for non-payment of rents too. At some point, people have to make a decision on on how far they're going to let something go, too. I do know that some landlords have had some tenants who refused to pay their rents because during the moratorium, even though that they could afford to pay their rents, they just didn't do it because they were gonna leave that property as soon as they were going to be evicted. So I'm not sure what direction to really take other than this resolution here just gives... this is something. This is a housekeeping item that we should have put in place a few months ago, and then this would go ahead. And but if you want to expand on it, we could look at that too. I'll go over to Commissioner Carmona and see what your thoughts are, Jay.
It's definitely a tough one. You don't want to shut off, like you said, basic services. I think that the decision is how far do we let somebody go. You know, there are some heavy users of water utility in this county. And I don't know that there's an easy answer. You know, if somebody gets $5,000 or $6,000 behind, are we equipped to set them up on a payment plan? You know, being a cash only person, no credit cards, I know that, you know, once things get out of control, they're you know, it's very difficult to gain your footing again. So, you know, again, you know, I'm on the fence right now. I mean, I know the county and other folks are paying their bills, but you know, we definitely don't want to shut off water to those that are unemployed, not getting unemployment checks because the state has failed them. You know, it's a difficult decision. You know, that's all I want to say at the moment.
Well, we've got...
Chairman, if I may, just a thought. Timing is really on our side here, in my opinion. A 30-action item, I don't believe, is going to have any particular impact. With the possibility of a vaccine coming here during December, and I will propose that we consider moving a decision on this to January after the first of the year. And maybe allow some of the dust to settle on the COVID issue, which I believe it's going to do.
Well, we've got a couple of things that are going on here, too, gentlemen, is that this does go ahead and give the authorization to jointly to the county manager and the public works director. Now, we have hired these individuals because we trust them and respect them for the decisions that they're going to make. And so... we as a board, I don't think that we're going to make the decisions who is going to get their water sewer turned on or off or anything like that. Another thing to think about, too, is that the water and sewer systems are an enterprise account. So if enough people don't pay their bills, we wouldn't have adequate funds in those accounts to go ahead and do operations that need to be done. That's... I mean, in the long term, the county isn't going to lose anything because legal counsel can correct me, but if we get into a long-term non-payment, we can lien their property, and that property sells, then the county can recapture the debt that is owed. But I personally feel comfortable that we should give the authority to the public works director and the county manager to oversee this myself.
That works for me, Marshall.
All right, I'll agree to support my fellow members of the board here on this, with the understanding that it's not a hard and fast directive to our county manager or the public works director to start turning water off the folks that are in. If they can show a reasonable need, that. But I want to know if there was something, some form of a system to give them that latitude.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. Why don't we open up for public comment?
Chairman, if I may, this is Jennifer McGee, Story County Comptroller.
Go right ahead, Jennifer.
I just looked up quickly, and if it does help anybody's mind, that currently we are at 44% of our expected budget collection for the year, which is we're very close to the 50% mark of our year. I think it would be really important to know how many customers are actually behind and utilizing the COVID pandemic to not pay their bills versus how many are actually on time with their payments. There's a lot of unknowns here, I think, for the commissioners to make a decision where the county manager and the public works director can sit down with these water department folks and make a more valid decision, keeping things private.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that, Jennifer. Okay. I'm still open for more public comment.
Mr. Chairman, Austin Hoffman. I can support what Jennifer McCain, our comptroller, said. We do have that information. Jason has provided that. He's also online with us, and we can review that. And then also other comments made during this meeting that noted, so we can look at them later in the year.
Okay. Additional public comment. Okay, after this conversation with my fellow commissioners, I think we're all on the same page with this, to go forward with this this resolution. And Commissioner Carmona, are you prepared to entertain a motion to approve this?
I am, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve resolution number 20-594, ratifying the COVID-19 business impact related decision Public Works Director to decline to use its authority to enforce payment and delinquent rates and charge through the shutoff of water and sewer utility services and authorization of the County Manager and Public Works Director to jointly determine when to end the moratorium of shutoffs.
I'll second your motion.
Very good. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 22. This is discussion for possible action. This is the approval of the business license second readings, A through G. So, Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I don't want to take this part of the meeting away from you.
Community Development, they recommend approval of all of the business licenses in front of you, A through G.
Thank you, Austin. Is there a public comment regarding these business license second readings? Hearing none? If I get a, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Yeah. I motion to approve the second reading of business licenses, A through G.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 23. Once again, we're having public comment. Any public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting, and we'll be back on December the 1st. Have a nice Thanksgiving, everyone.